listening to the best of Drew and Mike. We're off for a few days, but the Drew and Mike store is open, as is Hall Financial, the top mortgage company in Michigan and a sponsor of our entire network. Some of the other shows are still rolling. Hopefully you'll check them out. Charlie, ML, or No Filter Sports. And Hall Financial sponsors all of them. David Hall and Hall Financial, the team to go to if you want to purchase a home or refinance. Over 700 five-star reviews because they always put you first. Click the link to Hall Financial on the Drew and Mike website, fill out the online form, and they'll get back to you pronto. Whether you're looking to save money on a refi, buy your first home, dream home, take money out of your home, or maybe shorten the length of your loan, if you've got a credit bump, Hall Financial will fight for you. Go to drewandmike.hallfg.com. You won't be disappointed. Hall Financial, NMLS number 1467435. There's much going on. Yeah, I meant to play Helter Skelter at the beginning of the show. We'll have to wrap with Helter Skelter since Charlie's dead. And we were looking at a couple of things. You know, we talked to his future mother-in-law on 105.1. She was a lot cooler than I thought she would be.
Yeah. Actually felt bad for her.
I did too. At the beginning, I was kind of psyched to talk to her, and then I gradually realized how horrible it was to have your kid fall in love with Charlie Manson. They were environmentalists, though. They shared that bond.
It's clearly the nurture part.
And how was he an environmentalist?
I didn't really figure that part out.
No.
But she moved from Georgia to Corcoran, where he was in prison, so they could get married. She was cute, too.
Yeah, she was.
He did pull hot chicks. I mean, there's just no way. I mean, you have to give him credit for that.
It's the charisma.
I guess so.
Mm-hmm.
They had some great drops of him today on both the Today Show and GMA.
And CBS, where Charlie Rose interviewed him back when he looked like a different person. How many years ago was that? 20?
Well,
25 years?
I was more interested in the fact that Charlie Rose wasn't on the show this morning, but before he went on vacation, knew to record the Manson Might Die montage story. Because he did. He did the voiceover as if he just died today. And he did just die today.
Yeah.
You got to do that.
Yeah. He had this interview. I just sort of took a little piece of it, and it was Charlie Manson. He's like, "Do you get mail?" And Charlie's like, something about rainbows and ducks and pigs and rainbows again. And it was like, yeah.
We'll see.
Cool.
I'm inside you. That was my favorite.
I'm inside you,
Charlie.
Yeah. I think he did go at one point. He went, no.
That's the environmental part of Charlie, though. Rainbows and...
Okay.
Apparently see, thinking about the environment.
I guess.
When I stand on the mountain and I say, do it, it gets done. If it don't get done, then I'll move on it. And that's the last thing in the world you want me to do.
I knew that people would
die. That's the last thing we want him to do is to move on it?
Yeah.
I don't know, he never killed anyone.
Every one of you out there has tried to kill me for the last 25 years, and I'm
Drew.
Still here.
Ha, can't ha, kill him. Ha.
Now what?
What a nut.
He's well-spoken.
One of a kind.
Yeah.
He does, he's memorable.
Yeah. He didn't really have to force himself on any women.
He's one of those guys that when he's on TV, I'll always turn my head and watch.
Yeah, that's
There's
true.
Only a few it's of those.
Riveting.
So
it's really amazing. He was charged and found guilty.
I know. He didn't kill anyone. He wasn't even at the murder scene.
He would eventually have killed somebody. If he
totally.
Didn't outside of that whole, you know, California
Don't
scene.
Get me wrong. I'm glad that he was locked up. But
yeah. Well, you know, he did.
15 years old out of Kentucky named Kathleen Maddox. I didn't have a husband. What? My husband's name was Scott.
Who's Scott?
And he married somebody else and went down the road, and she went to Cincinnati and had a guy named Charlie Manson.
Third person?
And a guy.
I like that he's narrating his own documentary.
Wow.
Well, Bryan Cranston actually could have easily been murdered by Charlie. He met him a year before the Tate-LaBianca murders.
Really?
As he recalls today, yes.
What is the story on that? Because I don't know. I sort of felt like he was inserting himself in Manson's death and distracting everyone from the real Manson story.
No, I heard him tell the story to the Nerdist podcast about a year and a half ago or so.
Uh-huh.
And he was just talking about how they lived in the valley, or where was it? Out where the ranches are, near the Spahn Ranch for a while. He and his brother, because his dad left and mom was poor, and so they went to live with their grandfather. And while they were out there, some people and horses went by, and it was Charlie Manson and his family. And they only found that out later. And now Cranston is like, I could have been killed.
So,
are you so afraid of that, that's got your mind locked up?
No, I'm so, I don't understand.
Go over to the morgue and look at all them dead people.
Just explain to me, though. I'm not dumb.
Is she the right person to be interviewing Charles Manson?
Maybe. Which house, which night?
The house on Cielo Drive, the Tate house. Why did they go there that night?
Because Tex had been there before. And he went to a familiar place.
Terry Melcher
lived
there.
Why did they kill people that night? What did they think they
because,
were doing for you?
They freaked out, man. Tex was stoned. Everybody was loaded, man.
He said he wasn't. He said he was coming off an LSD trip. He had a little speed.
A little speed. Well, not around me. He didn't have no speed because I wouldn't allow no speed on that ranch. I kick ass over there. I don't allow that stuff on my, around me. I take a little grass, a little LSD, but none of that is destructive. Anyway, you can ask any of them other girls that'll tell you
safety first.
The other side of this game, I don't play drugs. I play light. Dibby dabby chippying, but I don't really get down heavy with it.
Huh?
What did they think they
are? We ready here, man?
Yeah, we're ready.
He's taking control. See, he will move on it.
What did they
war.
Think they were
we are at war now.
But what did they think they were doing for you?
They wasn't doing anything for me.
What did they think they were doing for you?
Okay.
Can't trap him.
If you are me and I am you, everything you do is for you, is for me too.
So what did they think?
Oh, if you're in one mind, if I am you and you are me and we are all together, and then who's responsible for a calm together? Over me right now. Da, 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 da. It's all his
over
fault.
Over me.
Oh, no, no, it's his fault. No, we put another false face on it. It's Halloween. It's your fault. So now, wait a minute. Criminal behaviors. The same. It's together. Mundane in
you're
most
singing
minds.
The Walrus.
He was
criminal
a Beatles fan.
Always go to a familiar place.
Love the Beatles. I mean,
Tex
that in common.
That house.
Yeah.
Tex went back to that house.
What in the hell are you talking about?
Does she sound a smidge more laid back than usual? Like possibly she had to take a Valium before she went and did this?
She.
Charlie's running things.
You know, she gets. It's not right to be more appalled by an intern at the White House than this. But. He's probably freaking her out. She'd have been in the family if he spent enough time with her.
She would have.
She'd have put out for him.
Sure.
All my life I've been in jail because I didn't have no one to get me out of jail. I didn't have no brother outside. So I spent years and years and years and years.
He's the victim, man.
Nobody would come and sign their name and get me out of jail. And the jail couldn't let me out because I didn't have no place to go. So I spent 22 years in prison because I didn't have nobody outside.
He subscribes to that theory of just keep talking. Just keep talking, Charlie.
It seems to work for him, I think. Well, he's controlling the interview.
Unless it's his parole hearing. Didn't really work
for
him.
Yeah, well, I don't think he ever wanted to get out.
Or squares.
He warned them in 67. He said, don't let me out.
Yeah.
He'd been institutionalized all his life. I will say this. One thing I haven't clearly noticed is having your mother be a prostitute is not a promising future for the child.
No.
It doesn't seem to work out very well.
No.
Charles Manson, Henry Lee Lucas, there's quite a few others.
Right.
In the killing game.
Right. And wasn't he born in prison or almost born in prison?
Was mom in prison when he was born?
I think she was in the slam for a while. But,
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some prostitute mothers can be good, can't they?
Wash your smelly ass and balls, you nappy motherfucker, you.
See?
It's true.
She lays down the law.
No, I like the way she takes charge. So, should we dial up?
She needs to get up off your fat ass and lose some of that goddamn weight.
Should we?
She
should we try
really
and get
good mom.
Star's mom on the phone? Maybe Star's at home. Maybe she's back home since Charlie.
Oh boy. Okay.
I think they broke up.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now is she going to claim the body because they were talking about nobody
yeah.
wanted the body?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Mark had a good idea.
We should claim it. We get some podcast
That's
publicity.
True. Yeah.
I don't know if it's the right kind of publicity.
How do you put dibs on Charlie Manson's body?
Who says they escaped Charles Manson? That girl's like, is that Star? That's not Star, is it?
No.
Boy. Oh, that's...
We're sorry, your call cannot be completed as dialed, or the
number
has been disconnected.
That word, please. Karma. It's a balance of karma.
And that's why you reassured Mr. LaBianca?
No, I mentioned that in a conversation about something.
I feel like you could pot him up at any time, and he would make just as much sense at any other time.
And I'll listen every time.
Look.
Yeah, look.
Listen,
I'm listening.
My words. I live and die by my words. I've lived and died by my words all my life. For 45 years in prison. I keep my word. My word is my bond. I walk on my word. I live on my word.
Do you want the world to let you alone and turn
around? Someone's here.
Listen, step out of line with the man. I did not break the law. Now, I told those people the same thing that the United States president would tell them.
What?
The United States
What's
president.
That? What's that?
The only way that you can dispensate life and death is you have to be willing to give yourself to that cause. You can't fight a revolution. You can't do anything unless you're willing to submit yourself to that cause.
Get out of here.
In other words, that's what you learn in the military.
Did you tell them to mutilate so that it would be memorable so that people would know something was going on?
Uh-oh.
Did you tell them to do it in a memorable way?
I told you what I told you.
Understand, Charlie.
If you're going to move and you're going to do something, do it with your soul and your heart. Do it right, man. Don't half step on it.
Did they do it right?
I don't know.
Wrong.
That's up to them. They live with that. They're responsible for their actions. I'm responsible for my actions.
You think the world's going to forget about you?
Which world? Every person in here is a world.
Where do these people come from?
America. You think it's going to forget about you now and
forget,
move on?
Forget, forgot. Forget, forgot. That's better. What? Boom. Boom. They're trying to unify Germany now. Look here. See, here's another thing you guys don't understand.
You should have had a podcast.
Underworld and overworld. I live in the underworld, you know. It's like you think the Second World War.
His podcast would probably stream properly.
War is not over.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was thinking he'd probably have a lot of tech problems because it would be a ton of people listening. Oh, Charlie.
Lord.
Charlie. Let's call Star's mom.
I just did.
Oh, you just did. That's
didn't
right.
Didn't work. You want to try calling his
actually
kid?
Thinking of the. Well, now this is really interesting. This kid was born in 76. He's 41 years old, right?
Yeah.
How can he be Charlie's kid? Charlie was incarcerated in 70.
He has similar DNA. Now, there was another guy who claimed to be his kid. Remember the rock musician?
Maybe there's some Manson sister or half-sister or something out
that
there.
That matches. That's possible.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Well, what is
very
the
possible.
What's the explanation?
He knocked up in 76.
Yeah.
Let's call him to find out.
Did he have conjugal?
Or expose his lies.
Charlie have conjugal?
I don't think so.
He's an MMA wrestler.
Who knows? Charlie's a pretty amazing guy.
Yeah, he had cell phones all the time.
He did call people. Yeah, last time they busted him with cell phones.
That is no longer.
I have no confidence in either of these numbers for what it's worth.
Are these Brandon numbers?
No, these are mine.
Uh-oh.
But I told you before I had no confidence.
Okay. I just don't want Brandon to start saying that as an excuse for number failures.
Well, that's what's funny about his numbers is he has unbelievable confidence in them.
We have a number that he has a lot of confidence in, by the way. The latest accusee of Al Franken.
Oh, yeah.
Squeezed her butt at the state fair.
Really?
In front of her husband who was taking the picture.
This guy's name, I believe, is Jason Manson.
Jason Manson?
No, he doesn't go by Manson, does he?
No.
Don't! Want to try Brandon's number while we're on it?
Sure.
Okay. Let's see, I got it here somewhere.
In the meantime.
Moving along.
Yeah.
Do you want to come back?
Come back where?
Anytime there's a lull.
More followers.
Should be a future policy on
more followers. Get it, Jessica Bonner, boom, boom, baby, box, all Brandon.
You said you were the heart of the place.
I had no followers.
What?
You said you were the energy of the place.
I was the energy of the place only because I was there. I didn't even realize
that losers.
I was the energy of the place. You know, I didn't know everybody out there was dead. I really didn't. You know, I really honestly didn't know that everybody was running.
Which number does he have the most confidence in? Because he sent two of them.
He always sends he has his two numbers for the same person with different area codes. I haven't been able to figure out how he thinks that's going to work.
Well,
I guess I'll just. The first one ends in 00.
I know. What is that, a work number?
I guess.
Well, try it. I mean, for no other reason to find out what's going on with Brandon.
What's her name?
Lindsay Menz.
What?
You have reached the voicemail box of 61.
Yeah, not.
Now, that's a Minneapolis number, but she's from Frisco, Texas. So does 952 area code make any sense? Is that Texas?
Hey,
maybe?
Siri, where's area code 952?
Is it Texas? I thought you said Houston.
Other one doesn't work.
Minnesota.
Brandon's winning streak is ending fast.
Yeah, neither of them.
Minneapolis.
Well, that would make sense if it's Al Franken.
Oh,
yeah, but
right,
she,
yeah.
She was from Frisco, Texas. I didn't even know. She, well, maybe she moved. I don't know.
Bentley sent numbers, too, just to compete.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
I know.
Let's see what Charlie thinks.
His baggage.
Oh, he's thinking about
it. How much time we got?
All the time in the world, Charlie.
Time enough for you to say.
Okay. Let me go to the restroom.
He's going to beat off. No thin toilet paper.
And then, no, I'm sure, you know.
Diane's falling
no,
for him.
No, you got to answer and then go, because this is it.
Well, there isn't anything that can't be explained in time if we had the time to explain it.
Just give me a question for them. They got to pose something to you. What do you want to pose to them?
Okay. All right. If, and that's a big word, because I don't hardly ever use those words like if and maybe. I'm not insecure about anything. But if you have a thought in your mind about what I'm thinking, is that what I'm thinking, or is that what you're thinking I'm thinking?
Oh, okay. That's a pretty good answer.
Huh. Well, I like the way he thinks sometimes. Pretty interesting. If she ended up in the bathroom with him, I can tell you what was going to happen.
Oh, easily.
Well, why don't we, should we wrap Charlie with Mike Love's recollections?
Oh, yeah.
Which are pretty good.
Right.
He's really talking about Dennis Wilson, who, by the way, was banging Mike Love's wife at the time, which is unfortunate.
Why did Dennis Wilson need Mike Love's wife? He had his pick of every.
Because he needed every piece of ass he could possibly find. He's incredible. He also married Mike Love's daughter.
Oh, yeah.
So Mike Love is a bit of a victim in this relationship. But
seems like he really hated Mike Love for some reason.
Yeah, I just don't think when it came to women, there were no boundaries for Dennis Wilson. And he was a good-looking guy. Chicks loved him. You know who really got hung up on him was Christine McVie from Fleetwood Mac.
Really?
She was with him for a while, and she went through hell and hung in there for a long time.
Right. Because she thought maybe he was going to be in love with her? I mean, with the
They were in love.
With the revolving door?
Yeah, but she was trying to stop the revolving door and thought she could. Big mistake. Yeah,
right.
So anyway, Dennis pulls his Ferrari into the driveway, and he notices lights on in this house he has, this which was once owned by Will Rogers. It sounded like it was pretty nice. And he goes in the house, and he's met by Charlie Manson.
Ooh, boy, cool.
And he says, are you going to hurt me? Dennis was immediately freaked out, and he says, do I look like I'm going to? The stranger fell to his knees and kissed Dennis's feet. That's how Dennis met Charlie Manson.
Way to read the room, Charlie.
Yeah.
Pretty good. He was scared, so he fell and kissed his feet.
Hey. My cousin's interested in Manson.
Everyone says, we know what you were doing with all those women.
Yeah. Dennis's appetite for sex was insatiable. I'm hardly one to sit in judgment, but for Dennis, too much was never enough. He once picked up two women that he was going to take to his house, but instead he stopped at the house of our road manager, who lived on the very same street. When the manager later asked Dennis, why didn't he just go to his own house? Dennis said, I couldn't wait that long.
Oh, my God.
So it was completely in character for Dennis to pick up two young women hitchhiking on Sunset Strip and bring them back to his house. Dennis mentioned his involvement with the Maharishi, and the women said they too had a guru named Charlie. Uh-huh. Women didn't know who Dennis was, but when they returned to Manson, he knew exactly who Dennis Wilson was. Manson was 33, a former convict, and was just one recording contract away from stardom in his mind. He was a charismatic speaker who, starting in the Haight-Ashbury section of San Francisco during the Summer of Love, reeled into his thrall desperate young women. He extolled their beauty, insisting they submit themselves to him, sleeping with them to demonstrate his love, exhorting them to surrender their egos. I guess that's the way to do it.
He mellowed chicks out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He compared himself to Jesus, used LSD as a perverse sacrament. It's all part of the initiation. They were disciples, and they were now part of a family that cared about them.
Oh, wow. And their moms and dads were too repressive, and so Charlie was sort of,
Yeah, he was a
kickback,
nice authority figure for them. But Manson's efforts to break into the music industry foundered, so when the two girls told him that Dennis Wilson had picked them up and taken them to his house, Manson pounced. Dennis was a good mark. Dennis lived in a luxurious house on 3 acres with a swimming pool, lots of guest rooms. He was indifferent about his own possessions. Dennis was all too happy to allow Manson and the girls to move in, use his charge cards, take his clothes, eat his food, drive his Mercedes. Manson, after all, had something for Dennis, a stable of young women who catered to his every desire. Dennis was actually in the Manson family. He was considered part of the Manson family.
Really?
Eventually, yeah. Manson's frustration with the music industry and his diatribe about the injustices of the world dovetail with Dennis's own disappointments that his music skills were not taken more seriously within the Beach Boys, and the society didn't understand him. Manson was also a racist, and Dennis, while not outspoken, may have absorbed his father's uncharitable view of black people. So they shared a lot of things. Well, Dennis had been drinking heavily for a number of years. He had also developed an appetite for LSD, and Manson's blending of psychedelics, sexual servants, rock music, and New Age rhetoric was too much for Dennis to resist. So Manson and his girls moved into Dennis's house, and Dennis joined the family. In a few short months, Dennis swerved from Maharishi to Manson. Dennis was looking for answers, except he had no filter to distinguish between the divine and the diabolical. And in an interview in 68 with Record Mirror, he said, "I still believe in meditation. I'm experimenting with tribal living. I live in the woods in California near Death Valley with 17 girls." Oof. Referring to the Manson family.
Probably smelled.
Yeah, they all did.
Yeah, gross.
Charlie stunk. That's why one of the sessions was ended with Terry Melcher. I think that's what he says later on.
Worse
he
than
stunk.
Lemon. Well, he also gave him gonorrhea or...
Yeah,
There were a lot of venereal diseases.
His mother was a hooker, his father was a gangster, he drifted into crime. When I met him, I found he had great musical ideas. We're writing together now. This is Dennis talking. Asked if he was supporting all these people, Dennis said, "No, if anything, they're supporting me. I had all the rich status, symbols, Rolls Royce, Ferrari, home after home. Then I woke up, gave away 60% of my money, and now I live in one small room with one candle. I'm very happy." He took Manson out to nightclubs, introduced him to people in the industry, and talked about Charlie to other Beach Boys, about Charlie's wisdom and depth as well as his musical talents. Bruce Johnston and I finally drove out to Dennis's house to meet his new roommates. Charlie's girl drove Dennis's Rolls Royce to the supermarket in Pacific Palisades and scrounged for discarded vegetables, which they brought home and prepared.
Ugh.
Nice.
Ugh. I mean, vegetables? Gross.
After dinner...
the discarded part.
Charlie tried to turned Mike Love on to the women, all of whom were lying around naked, apparently, and he was passing out LSD tabs and orchestrating sex partners. Always orchestrating. And Mike Love said, "I love the female form, but this was too much even for me. The place was hot and claustrophobic, so I walked out to take a shower." And Squeaky Fromm apparently tried to get in the shower with him, and he wasn't interested. And then Manson, I guess, challenged him. He was about to leave, and Charlie said,
"Pretty soon, I bet they'll all be swinging together. Just a big old fucking suck."
No doubt. "I'm really sorry, Charlie, but Bruce and I have to get back to the studio. We got the hell out of there, and as we pulled out of the driveway, I thought, Dennis, what a nutcase for a roommate you have." But Dennis wanted Brother Records to record Manson, bring him into our office, hyping his talents. And Dennis set up recording sessions for Manson with Stephen Desper in Brian Wilson's home studio. Brian stayed in his bedroom the whole time. He had no interest.
Brian was right.
I love Brian Wilson.
Brian was the smartest of all. Great. The idea was to cut a demo good enough to convince either the Beach Boys or the others of Manson's appeal. Manson arrived at Brian's home with several of the girls.
By the way, just look at the two levels of crazy there. You have Manson and Brian Wilson.
Yeah, Brian just completely opts out.
It's done. I'm just going to write music and be a genius.
They sat on the floor in a daze. Oh, his women. Apparently stoned, though, they found the bathroom. Manson later said he had to disinfect. They had to disinfect the toilets.
Oh, you.
Desper thought Manson songs were okay, maybe even recordable, and Manson returned on several occasions. Brian always stayed in the bedroom. Manson resisted Desper's instruction, was ill-informed about the industry, and was fidgety and impatient. At one point, he pulled out a switchblade, supposedly to clean his fingernails, but more to intimidate Desper. Our sound engineer later said it didn't faze him too much. He finally had to end the sessions, not out of fear, but because Manson smelled so bad.
Guys, we have a situation. I broke the bathroom. We ran out of TP, so I had to use my shirt. Well, long story short, it turns out that pipes are not BVT compatible, FYI.
They also could not understand what these women all had for Charlie Manson. Why did they? What was going on with that? Well, that kind of just blew everyone's mind. So someone at Brother Records checked Manson's background, discovered his criminal past. The accountant started raising flags about unexplained expenditures on Dennis's charge card. For my cousin, the truth about Manson slowly emerged beyond what was spent on the card. Dennis paid the medical costs for the women who were treated for STDs. The house was ransacked, furniture, clothes, guitars, stereo equipment, gold records. They took everything of Dennis's that wasn't nailed down. Wow. They totaled his Mercedes. Dennis lost about $100,000 to his roommates, and even for him, that was too much. Huh. Though Dennis didn't back down from anyone, he didn't want a confrontation with Manson, who had a penchant for flashing his switchblade and making threats. So instead of demanding Manson and the girls leave, Dennis just vacated the premises himself.
Wow.
The house was leased, and when the lease expired, the owner kicked out the squatters. Manson ended up...
Make it someone else's problem.
Exactly.
Good job, Dennis.
No, I thought that was smart. Manson decamped to Spahn Ranch, but continues association with Dennis, whom he still needed to launch his career. And Dennis, through some combination of loyalty, continued to visit Manson with producers in tow. Mm. Dennis liked Cease to Exist, whose lyrics he tweaked. I didn't think much of it, but the Beach Boys changed the tune some and recorded it as Never Learn Not to Love.
Right.
Dennis took credit for what was essentially Manson's music and lyrics, though the song is remembered by a few. It did appear on the B-side of a 45, and we performed it on the Mike Douglas Show!
That's in the Brian Wilson documentary.
Yes.
About Pet Sounds.
Yep.
It's pretty wild.
That's on what? YouTube, them
yeah.
playing that on the Mike Douglas Show.
Chucky what year
song.
Is this?
69, May of 69.
Okay. I seriously was wondering, because I just thought, why don't they just hook Manson up with Murray Wilson and let him produce him?
Yeah, that would have gotten Murray imagine, off their backs.
Can you imagine those two?
No, that would have...
Just imagine Manson talking to this guy.
Help me run the bank syncopate.
Charlie, you're flatting.
Your voice you think you made a lot of money, Charlie? Everybody.
Carl, we can't hear Carl. We can Manson, hear Dennis, you're acting crazy. We can't hear Mike. We can't hear Mike, and we can hardly hear Al. Okay.
Charlie smells.
Dennis was asked if he was afraid of anything in an interview with Rave Magazine. Sometimes the wizard frightens me. Charlie Manson, another friend of mine, who says he is God and the devil. He sings, plays, and writes poetry, maybe another artist for Brother Records. He actually was quoted mentioning Manson.
Good to see you again. You'll have to forgive us. We're in an awful time bind, and if we start talking, this we're not going to be able
Mike
to hear
Douglas.
Any more music. And, boy, that's what we want. Okay. Right. How are things in California? Warm and wet.
Uh-huh. What a terrible
They say it's fashionable to say to a California, have you moved lately? And many of them have, without wanting to. No problem. Maybe we hear. What are you going to do
Mike
for us now,
Douglas. Oh, Mike Douglas, you know...
Never learned Mike how Douglas to love. Is this the acapella? Not to love. The next one's the acapella, then. Okay. Never Learned Not to Love. The Beach Boys.
By Charles Manson. Guy who will... command people to kill people.
That sounds like every other song.
Why would they play a B-side on Mike Douglas?
I'm your kind, and I see. Come on, come on. You are the My life,
oh, it's to get Dennis to sing a vocal on. Dennis is probably pushing to get his song
I'm your kind, I'm your kind.
It sounds
I
like a Manson song.
Never had a lesson I ever learned. And I know I could never learn not to love you.
That's a bad
Come
song.
In. Kind of a love song. Never, I could never learn not to love
now
you.
Closer.
Baby, won't you light my fire?
Closer, closer. Special music here. Give it to your lover.
Watch and dig on rolling.
Love and understanding is for one another. I'm your kind, I'm
this
your
song is
kind,
terrible.
And I see.
Yeah.
It's at really so weird for the Beach Boys, too.
Yeah.
At Norm MacDonald, my heart goes out to the family of Mr. Manson at this time.
Oh, let me guess. People are mad about that tweet. That's a great tweet.
It is, isn't it?
That's really funny.
Everybody else has all these heavy remembrances. And
yeah. Well, you always see to the family.
Well, how can you complain about that? I mean, the poor family.
Too soon.
The family is.
It's too soon.
It's, no, it's just right.
Of course. It's Manson.
So, anyway, they do this song on Mike Douglas. That was the extent of our direct musical involvement with Manson. And Dennis slowly recognizes demonic streak. Dennis is
God, is he slow to pick up on
no,
things?
No, it's really amazing. he goes to Spahn Ranch to visit. This is after he's lost his place and all this happened. Mm-hmm. And he said, Charlie, I saw Charlie take his M16 and blow this black cat in half and stuff him down the well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, never killed anybody.
Referring to a black man. Yeah. He didn't mean a cat. He meant a man.
Yeah.
Dennis was too frightened to go to the police. I think he was just hoping Manson and the family would disappear, but his entanglement could not be undone. He'd introduced him to Terry Melcher, the former musical partner of Bruce Johnston, Bruce Johnston and the Beach Boys, who by 68 had produced the Byrds cover Mr. Tambourine Man and Turn, 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 helped Paul Revere and the Raiders become a big band. Any artist would love to work with him, and that included Manson, who accompanied Terry and Dennis on several of their club outings. Manson was also in the car one day when Dennis dropped Terry off at his rented home at 10050 Cielo Drive, which is where the killings were, where Sharon Tate, Polanski took the place after Terry Melcher moved out at the top of a steep hill in Benedict Canyon. Terry lived there with his girlfriend, Candace Bergen.
Oh. Yeah.
Once Manson realized Dennis wasn't going to deliver a recording contract, he honed in on Terry, who was always looking for a new talent. As a favor to Dennis, he went to Spahn Ranch twice in the late spring of 69 to hear Manson sing. Terry was Manson's last hope, but he was unimpressed, had to tell Manson he couldn't help him. Manson wouldn't stand for it. Consumed by rage and seeking revenge against a corrupt society, he convinced his followers the apocalypse was coming in a bloody race war, at the end of which he and his disciples would take over. All this is prophesized in the White Album, in the songs that were written by the Beatles in Rishikesh when they were visiting the Maharishi, including Helter Skelter. To get it started, he had his followers commit some spectacular murders. He chose to kill the occupants of 10050 Cielo Drive. Terry Melcher had moved out and was living in a house owned by his mother, Doris Day. The move was no accident. Terry Doris's only child was extremely close to his mommy. He told her about Manson and about some of his scary antics, his brandishing of knives, his zombie followers that Manson had been to the house. This petrified Doris, and both Doris and Terry said she insisted he move out. The mother's intuition, and it may have saved his life.
Wow.
So what?
I know. Isn't that incredible?
She did not slam the door on other people subletting. And therefore.
Well, Doris Day's fault.
Doris Day's evil.
I guess mom do knows best.
The next documents were Roman Polanski. Who had
by the way, Sharon Tate's daughter.
Has informed Roman.
Does she need to inform him? Does he not have the internet?
I guess not. He's not allowed to use the internet.
What?
He's raped like 5 women.
Yeah, but he got away with it. He's in Europe.
I know.
Does she not realize that they have the internet in Europe?
I don't know. He's in his 80s.
I just thought that was a little ridiculous.
Maybe he's in his 80s, so he had to be informed. He doesn't know how to go online.
Doesn't he have a television? Wouldn't it be on TV at least?
I would think so.
It'd be all over TV.
I know. I thought that was such a stupid story anyway.
Yes!
First of all, does anyone really care if Roman Polanski knows? I'm sorry that this happened to him, but he certainly has sort of weaved his own shitty trail in life.
Yeah, his own path.
Hey, where was he to protect his wife when that happened?
Making a movie in Europe, I believe.
Teenage girls?
At a press conference or something? Yeah, it probably was nailing a few chicks, too. leaving his 8-month pregnant wife, I think.
Yeah.
Someone's got to pay the bucks, right?
He just made Rosemary's Baby. The satanic, rather satanic Rosemary's Baby.
Rather satanic.
So Polanski and Sharon Tate lived there. And
I'm sorry. I didn't.
She was 8 months pregnant, and J. Sebring was there, the hairdresser, and the Folgers Coffee.
Heiress
and her husband, I think, were there. And then the next night, so it goes. And like, what else they had?
Why the La Biancas? Whose house do they think that was? Or was it to throw off the scent of the police?
It was to throw off the scent of the police because he was trying to make it look like, what were they trying
to? Black people killing, right? That's what I thought.
Death
to pigs. Zero pigs everywhere.
Right. Yeah, to make it, anti-cop. Yeah.
I think they would.
Nice plan, Manson.
Just happenstance.
Yeah. It's bad luck.
Terry Melcher did end up testifying at Manson's trial.
Wasn't there another murder the year before or months before, too?
There was a guy, like a record guy or something?
Yeah, that's what I thought. Do you remember that, Drew? Wasn't there an actual third murder? Or murder scene? Not murder, but. I don't know. Go read. I'll look it up.
I can't remember. That they thought Manson was responsible for?
Yeah, I thought it was a few months earlier.
Well, anyway, Terry Melcher did testify at the Manson trial. Dennis Wilson did not, though, which is I think is really strange. They said he couldn't talk about it with anyone. He never told the authorities that he saw Manson murder the black guy at Spahn Ranch, and he was unable to testify in court. He didn't want to be in the same room with Manson. He never wanted to face the questions. How could you allow a bunch of future murderers to be your roommates? How could you even think of wanting to join such a family? How could you befriend a maniacal leader? Dennis just wanted to lock the whole episode in some deep recess of his soul, but as the years went by and his troubles with alcohol and drugs deepened, it was one more burden he couldn't escape. After the arrests were made, I realized my threatening phone call had come. Oh, Mike Love is getting threatening phone calls, and he thinks it was from Manson. And also, Dennis, I mentioned, was nailing Mike Love's wife. He and his, Mike Love's first wife, Suzanne, were having an affair, and they used to leave the kids at home with Susan Atkins.
Oh, nice.
Of the Manson family.
Oh, boy.
She's
great with kids.
Yeah, she's a good babysitter.
It's funny, Mike Love always sort of kind of implies in the book that, you know, he and Suzanne are still close, but he really points out what an idiot she was many times in the book also.
It was some...
I don't think he thinks much of her.
Gary Hinman.
Hinman, that's right. How long...
What year was that? How was he killed?
It was July of 1969. Bobby Bolasale. How did you say that? One of the other Manson members. They went to Gary Hinman's house to try to get him to turn over money that Manson thought he owed. That Hinman had inherited, and Manson was kind of like, just give me that money. And he was uncooperative, and they eventually stabbed him and kind of like hung out there while he died, and he died really slowly. And then they wrote political piggy on the wall.
Yeah, good one.
And then after that followed the other murders.
So they think Manson committed that murder?
Well, he was there, or he directed it.
No.
If he didn't do it, he didn't do it, though.
Yeah, but he killed that black guy.
The black cat. Yeah, but Dennis didn't testify, so he's never convicted.
Didn't they ever look?
Aaron Hernandez, never convicted.
I'm not a racist.
Did they ever, like, go in and look down the well to find out if that dude's down there?
I don't know. By the way, question. Manson had an M16. Isn't that a rather dramatic weapon for Charles Manson to have?
Of course.
Well, he's Manson.
Yeah, he is.
All right.
He's inside you. We now know why Charlie Rose was not on CBS This Morning.
Why? Was he too emotional over Manson's death?
He has been accused of sexual harassment by 8 different women.
No! Did that just break?
Washington Post put out a story.
No, come
8
on.
8 women.
Charlie Rose?
Among the claims being made by the women are that Charlie Rose would grope their breasts, buttocks, and genitals without their consent, make lewd telephone calls, and walk around nude in their presence.
Charlie Rose? Really?
Age 75. They were all between the age of 21 and 37 at the time of the misconduct, working for him. So this is worse than a lot of them.
How recent were these?
It doesn't say yet. Two former employees said that young female assistants and producers Rose would constantly surround himself with were known as the Charlie's Angels.
Oh, my God.
In a lengthy statement in response to the expose by the Washington Post, Rose did not deny any of the allegations made by the women, but said that he did not believe all his accusers were accurate in their descriptions of his offenses. It's essential that these women know I hear them, and I deeply apologize for my inappropriate behavior. I'm greatly embarrassed. Which, don't you want to see how he's gone over the news stories of the recent accusations?
I kind
of
do,
they were really terrible.
Why can't Tom Brady walk around nude in front of people? Or anybody attractive? It's always going to be a 75-year-old man.
These girls
Al Franken or...
Well, Tom Brady could pull women. I mean, he's married to a supermodel. He knocked up another supermodel.
I know, but I would love...
Charlie Rose is, you know, he probably was rejected by women as a young man. Rose, and all of a sudden he has all this power.
Rose walked around naked in front of this one girl at least a dozen times while the two were working from his house.
Hot.
How do you get nude in front of your employee at your home?
Well, what does he think is going to happen?
He was going to take a shower. He was working out.
Godfrey Ryan.
She's happened to come over.
She has a hyphenated last name. Also alleges that Charlie Rose would call her late at night or early in the morning to describe his fantasies of seeing her swim naked in his pool.
That's just a bad move. See, he probably, I'm going with my original thesis. He was rejected as a young man.
Yeah.
All of a sudden he's making a lot of money.
Power.
And chicks are maybe a little flirtier with him than he was ever used to, and he couldn't handle it. It was too much for him.
His longtime producer is going with the, that's just Charlie being Charlie. Excuse.
Oh.
2005 to 2006 is when this other girl worked with him.
Okay, so he only would have been 63. Certainly
she found herself
beautiful naked man.
She found herself ugh, with loose skin and old balls. She found herself at the receiving end of an unwanted sexual advance while riding with Rose in his Mini Cooper.
Well, it's a small car.
Oh, boy.
Charlie Rose is driving. I don't know. Wouldn't you think Charlie Rose would be driving?
Charlie's pretty cool, man. He loved the ladies.
He would put his hand on her thigh while he was driving through the city. Her boyfriend even confirmed the story.
It could have been reaching for the gear shift or, you know, maybe that was it.
She never got in the car with him again. Yeah. Well, I guess Charlie's done.
Yeah, that's going to be.
There's the girl.
That's not going to be. Wow.
One of them.
She's very not very old.
No, well, this is 10 years ago when it happened. There's another one.
How old is she now?
It doesn't say, but they were all between 21 and 37 when it happened. And there's Charlie today.
Yeah. Go back to the girl.
That's the first one. Oh,
yeah. She's too young for him to harass.
Her eyes are so wide like she just saw Charlie.
That's the one he wanted to see swim in the nude.
Really?
Which I don't blame him.
I wouldn't mind seeing her swim nude.
And this one, who, by the way...
God, her eyes are huge. He likes women with huge eyes.
They look very similar, don't they?
They do. They look exactly alike.
Charlie had a type.
Look at this girl, Trudy.
That's the one whose thigh he grabbed.
Well, he's got good type, taste man. In women.
And what's the other one look?
Oh, my gosh, the other one's here.
But those women are too hot for him. I don't care how much money he makes.
And then here's Charlie
on TV.
He's an eye man, for sure.
That's just pathetic. Yeah. You know, actually, I'm trying to think...
Not a boob or a butt man. He's an eye man.
Yeah, he's an eye man. Think of all these guys. Okay, you got Charlie Rose, Harvey Weinstein, James Toback,
Ben Affleck, Kevin.
Well,
Spacey.
I'm leaving Ben Affleck out. I'm just there's a lot of guys who I could see not being women's first choices, but then gaining power and feeling, well, I deserve hot women too. Uh-huh. But they don't even know how to procure them. Charlie Rose could have a hot 40-year-old, maybe 45-year-old, and if he had any panache, he could.
Sounds
but no,
like he does.
He wants to just walk around nude and make lewd phone calls to women at 6 in the morning.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. That yeah, he's
there's an awkwardness.
Sort
there's,
of just
he's
like,
drunk on himself, but he's not that hot.
Is he married? Let's see. Oh, he was married.
I bet he is.
He was married from 68 to 80, and that was it.
How big are her eyes?
Yeah.
This is Rose.
Yeah.
That is really, those pictures were weird, weren't they?
Oh, you know,
very strange.
He's been in a relationship with the stepdaughter of the CBS founder. How old is she?
Oh, Charles Paley?
Yeah, William Paley. Hmm. Amanda Burden. They've been in a relationship for a decade.
Let's see how old Amanda Burden is.
All right.
I bet she's like 52, I'm going to guess.
73. That's a good looking 73-year-old right there.
Damn. That's her?
Really?
Yeah, if that's her today, that's a good looking 73-year-old.
Yeah, she looks really nice.
But I mean, she's still all yours. But it's not a bad looking 73.
I don't want her. You're the one that brought up how hot she was.
I'm just offering it to you.
Oh, thanks.
Hey, look, Brandon's here.
Yes,
Brandon.
He appears to be discussing some sort of phone number or situation or something.
Robin Halpin number work.
Well, kind of.
The Al Franken victim, neither number.
The Robin number was written
down. So you're 1 for 3 today.
It wasn't written down wrong. How could it have been written down?
Well, your 8 and 6 were... You wrote 8 originally and then you changed it to 6?
It couldn't have been written down wrong because we called her last night.
I know, but I called the 8 first. The turning of the screen, the handing of the keyboard... Brandon is putting things in place the way he always does. He puts on the headphones, the keyboard centered. The second keyboard is centered on the desk. The screen is moved over. He settles comfortably into his chair. And he will approach the microphone shortly. And we will hear from Brandon McAfee following a full day of work.
Yeah, and an hour commute here.
An hour?
An hour.
What?
Yeah, a big crash on 696.
What the fuck is happening on 696?
I don't know. Traffic was pretty good for the most part today because... You know, kill that music.
why is we changing Brandon's theme?
Was that a different one?
This was
sure seemed long.
Well, if you really
want to
know...
It was the British National Anthem.
If you really want to know...
Which, by the way, what's his name was standing for? Marshawn Lynch.
No, he was standing for Mexico's anthem.
He would stand for the British anthem, too, I think.
What has now become a viral video, police say that is 68-year-old Laverne Duran hanging on to the front of a Baltimore County school bus last Thursday afternoon in the area of Putty Hill and Horner Thursday. Avenues in Parkville.
Bus driver keeps going.
Punching the bus.
In light of the incident, we reached out to the Baltimore County school system, who told us through a statement, quote, "The families of the students on the bus were all notified following the incident, and if needed, counseling support is being provided to the students." The video did have a lot of people asking why it happened in the first place.
Allegedly, a bottle of some sort was thrown out of the bus towards that vehicle. At that point, the driver of that vehicle got out of his vehicle.
Someone on the bus took this 30-second video, which shows Duran yelling over and over again for the driver to
shut
open the door.
I'm
should be the landscape.
I can't believe he's still driving.
Instead, the driver keeps his cool, starts heading towards the Parkville police precinct, but was intercepted on the way by an off-duty officer.
We happen to have an off-duty officer that was present in the area who assisted and intervened quickly.
Monday, we tried to reach Duran for comment at his home, but no one answered the door.
Somebody threw a bottle in his car.
Now, Duran is facing four different charges.
That's illegal.
They wouldn't let him on the bus.
Riding on the outside.
Conduct he has since been
I'm a Laverne fan.
That's bullshit.
Police also tell us that they continue
Laverne.
To investigate to try and
figure out if
something
Laverne.
Was thrown at his vehicle.
His wife's name is Shirley.
We're live in Towson.
I don't think he made it up. Please replay drop, please.
How many things do you have going on?
What? What are you talking about? Just one.
Parents gave you a girly name to toughen you up. I like it.
I bet he'd appreciate that comment.
What's his last name again?
His first name is Laverne. Yeah. No.
Shirley. Laverne Shirley.
That was Brandon's joke.
Oh, that's pretty funny, Brandon.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thanks for giving it new life, Drew.
Is there some reason you froze on police chase stolen ambulance?
Yes, because that story reminded me of this one. This is the lead story, which... I mean, we all like watching police chases.
Oh, absolutely. The second story, by the way, I think is about the guy who raped a 12-year-old.
Uh-huh.
She got pregnant, had the kid, and he just won custody.
Oh, yeah.
Partial custody of the child.
Of his rape baby.
Yeah, his fucking rape. He assaulted a 14-year-old after that, too. What? Are you kidding me?
But he's in jail, so how does he get custody?
He's not in jail.
Oh,
he served 6 months.
Oh, my
for the sexual assault. I know.
Sexual assault of a minor.
A 12-year-old got a 12-year-old pregnant.
I know.
He had DNA. He demanded a DNA test to prove it was his kid. She was 12.
How old is she now?
21.
Does she have issues or something?
No.
Then why would he get partial? How much
custody? I have no. It's crazy.
Is it monitored custody?
No. It's being shot down, isn't it?
Thank God.
I think that it's. Didn't she appeal or something?
It, yeah.
I believe the story's on here right after the story.
I need him to go to prison so he can be boo-fooed there immediately.
Yeah, please.
Oh, man.
Let's get him pregnant in the butt. I think it can be done. Let's give it a shot. Let's give it our best shot.
Boo-fooed justice.
You'll offend again.
You need to see this entire police
chase. Yeah, we do.
I like it when
imagine
you talk that
what
way.
This deputy was thinking as he made a U-turn to chase a stolen MedStar ambulance.
Turn on your
the man
sirens,
behind the wheel
ambulance.
Never slowed down as two deputies were closing in. At one point, an officer tries to box him in.
Now.
The guy almost loses control, and that's when he decides to go off-road.
Oh, yeah! Cool.
Luckily, no one was walking along the path or using the park when this out-of-control ambulance
was there. He's well in control.
The deputy followed, and after this nonsensical cruise to nowhere, the man went around the cop and got back onto Grosbeck.
It's not nonsensical.
For the chase
it worked.
A nonsensical cruise to nowhere?
That was not nonsensical. He was about to get boxed in, and he drove off the road. I'm just saying. I'm in his head, and I'm going, I think it was a good move.
No, I'm agreeing with you. I think that is a ludicrous line in this story.
That's when he decides to go
back up on the road.
Luckily, no one was walking along the path or using the park when this
ambulance barreled through.
He wasn't going to go
the
there if someone
followed,
was walking.
And after this nonsensical cruise to nowhere, the man went
put
around
your brain
the
in the mind of the criminal once in a while.
Back on the road.
So the chase continued for a few more minutes. It's clear officers were trying to keep other drivers safe as the ambulance whizzed through intersections.
It's one of those
the man
tall
tried driving
ambulances,
onto the grassy again, but was unable to maneuver the turn. The ambulance finally came to a stop, and the officer approached with his gun drawn.
Oh, man.
The bizarre chase happened around 6:30 Saturday evening.
I always root for the car being chased, don't you?
Yeah.
I want the chase to keep going.
Well, when it's a top-heavy ambulance, I kind of did.
Yeah.
You got to admire the fact it didn't roll over.
Do you ever really root for a car chase to end when it's live on TV?
No.
No.
I never do either. I always wanted to keep going. I always think, God, please have a full tank. I want to watch this for a while.
If it ends, though, it has to end spectacularly, like them chasing him across.
I get
transit van ending, or the other one where the guy ran on top of the minivan.
Yeah.
I like it when the chase ends and there's someone athletic in the driver's seat and they take off and they actually have a shot of getting away. I mean, for a while, not forever, but.
And as opposed to a nonsensical cruise to nowhere.
And after this nonsensical cruise to nowhere, the man went around the cop and
got
back
onto
Grosbeck, where the chase continued for a few more minutes.
Right. We wanted it to end. We wanted to keep going, and you did too.
Wouldn't it be great if there was someone in the back and they were being worked down the whole time? It should have tipped right there, and it doesn't.
The ambulance finally came to a
stop. That was nonsensical right there. He drove into a ravine.
The bizarre chase happened around.
I tell you, when this guy gets out of jail, he should apply to be an ambulance driver.
I agree.
And this is his resume. He did a great job.
A patient suffering from cardiac arrest into the hospital. They saw the man being escorted out of the hospital and then watched him jump into the ambulance.
Uh-oh.
They radioed dispatch, and Macomb County deputies and Clinton Township police gave chase.
What?
A 21-year-old Macomb Township man faces one felony count.
Please.
A lawsuit driving away
Come
with
on.
An automobile.
Oh.
But 5 stars for that chase.
Wait a second. He just left the hospital?
Yeah.
Was he being... Why was he at the hospital? I missed that part. I didn't understand
He was in the hospital, and he was discharged, I thought she said.
Oh, so he needed
a ride.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Do you think he's going to get all the way home?
Bye-bye.
Drop himself off.
That was nice. Awesome.
Pretty cool.
Wow.
Jeez.
Nonsense.
Good chase.
Okay, you want to call Laverne?
Oh, yeah.
Laverne Duran? If this guy's in trouble, I'm pissed. Because I think he had a good lesson for the brat on that bus that threw that glass bottle at his car. Doesn't he deserve an audience with that brat?
Yes, 100%.
Or, I'm sorry, does that violate the safe space of the bus?
Did they figure out which brat did it? Did they even go there?
No, there seemed to be no concern over what brat threw the glass bottle. That's not even mentioned in the story, is it?
No. And that's
bullshit. Somebody threw a glass bottle, and that's just fine, and that old man doesn't even get to blow off his steam.
An injustice.
Take me to you. Magic Bus. A great song.
He may be in hiding.
Why?
Hello. Please refer all inquiries to Stephen Silverman, 410.
Oh, what?
Again, that's 410.
That's the second number you had, isn't it?
Steven
Silver. Gosh, we got it, dude. Stop telling us his phone number. We hear it.
Oh, no, it's not the other number.
Is that a lawyer, possibly?
Yeah, that's what I figured.
I'm going to have Silverman's office?
Edit that like 9 times.
This guy has to be a lawyer for wanting to chew out some brat for throwing a...
Yeah.
God, that's not how it worked when we were throwing crab apples at cars at the bus stop. We got chased and caught and yelled at and...
Do you want to try
on the bus and went to school?
You want to try the second number I have for him, or do you want to just try that number?
Try the second number. I don't want to talk to his lawyer. He shouldn't even have a lawyer.
Brandon's trying to get a number to work.
Isn't there a long history? Isn't there a long history of people fucking with people who are driving behind the bus, though?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
When you have to ride the bus.
Yeah. There were people that went to the high school while we were on our way to 7th and 8th grade, junior high. And there were certain people that drove by the bus every day when we went by that we used to fuck with. Yell out the window. We were horrible. Our bus stop had a police escort for a while because we were shooting paper clips at cars. We were throwing crab apples at cars. It was sport. And then there was a kid who claimed he was so ridiculous.
The number you are calling cannot receive calls at this time.
What?
There was a kid who claimed he had an FBI ID card. He claimed, okay, he's like 11. He claimed that he was in the FBI, sort of, kind of. And we basically told him, you're not in the FBI. Stop showing the card. You know you're not in the FBI. You're just a little putz. We all know that. I don't think we said that. We just basically told him, you're not in the FBI. He went home crying. So he and his mother were storming back to the bus stop to yell at us.
Oh, whoa.
His mom was holding his hand. The bus had the door open and had just arrived, and we scurried on the bus. I mean, scurried on the bus. And the door shut. She was like 10 feet from the door closed. She was yelling, and the bus driver didn't hear, and he just went, just took off. And you could see her waving her fist at the bus as it drove away. But we got it the next day.
Wow, what a movie ending for you.
I know. That was exciting. I have to say, my adrenaline, that's probably the most adrenaline I had at that point in my life. Other than getting chased for the paperclip shooting, which just made a ping noise.
You're all gonna die!
Yeah, not like a bottle.
No, we never threw bottles at cars. Snowballs, yeah. And that would get pretty loud when you had like that, bam, 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 bam!
I remember Mrs. Pope pulled over the bus for kids throwing snowballs at him.
From the bus?
Mrs. Pope was like,
I never threw them from the bus. I never thought of that. That's a great idea.
They were being thrown at the bus, so she pulled the bus over to yell at him. She was about 80 years old, had this tall, white beehive hairdo.
Cool.
This is how she drew. This is one of my favorite impersonations. Charlotte does this impersonation out there. She thinks it's hilarious. That's what she looked like when she drove the bus, because she's really small, so the bus is really wide, but she had like 8 necks.
Yeah, we had a bus driver who was about 400 pounds. Somebody was livid that I mentioned Leroy, the bus driver, who lost a bus, allegedly. That's what we were told.
Uh-huh.
And that Leroy Jenkins drop was not played.
Oh, balls.
Little stretch, but I thought, yeah, it was missed opportunity.
Yeah. True.
I'm not going to do it.
Brandon will do it. I predict.
There he is. Our bus drivers were the Toll brothers. They were big farmers and huge.
They built a bunch of houses.
And bright red faces. Yes. That too.
Yeah, bus drivers, they should be big guys.
Yeah, and you didn't screw with them ever. And then one time we were running to the bus and we said, wait. And when we heard Les Toll say, wait, what broke the train? Hi. Wait, what broke the train?
Oh, boy. We had so much in 5th and 6th and 7th and 8th grade. There was a group of us that were all in the same classes for a while, to the point that it was determined that these people cannot be in the same class because there was a lot of,
chicanery.
I was thinking about why I shouldn't say this. It was 5th fucking grade.
Yeah.
My friend Alec had what was known as the voodoo eraser. Our teacher's name was Mrs. Bowen. It said like fuck Bowen and you know and all this stuff. And she found the voodoo eraser.
Oh, no.
It was a huge incident. And then there was an open window in the back of the class, and me and another guy used to jump out the window and then come to the door like we had just come back from the bathroom. And, of course, the class would be so excited. Oh, my God, they went out the window again. Anyway, this teacher once said her mother was born, I believe it was, she said her mother was born in 1899 or something. And I said, it was later than that. It was like 1906 or something. And I said, how old was your mom when you were born? And she said, she was whatever the age was. It was actually probably later than that. And I said, so you're 56, Mrs. Bowen. She's like, her jaw dropped. Like, what? And I guess she was very embarrassed. And
so you didn't get a gold star for your math?
No, not at all. It wasn't a big deal, but it was mentioned to me that wasn't very polite.
You do math well in your head.
Yeah, I'm pretty cool. Math is definitely a forte.
Poor teacher.
I know. Oh, no, she told my mom, she ran to my mom years later in the supermarket, she said, I really thought I lost my touch with the kids. I was going to retire.
Oh.
Jeez. Sensitive.
We were pretty devilish, and the Triple Threat Trio was in the same class years in a row. Split up, though, for 7th grade, which was brought on a new group of, Confederates.
Oh, wow.
It didn't really help that much. Although there were a lot of deviant people in one class.
Here's audio of those deviant bus people.
Driver. Do it, Tom.
Hey, who threw that?
I'll turn this damn bus around. That'll end your precious little field trip pretty damn quick, huh? Shit.
So mad.
Oh my God, how does he do that?
That's incredible.
He physically turns purple.
Oh, there was a huge key caper too in, I can't remember which grade it was, but for some reason, certain people started stealing keys, like janitor's keys.
Oh.
You know, if you saw them in the door, you just grab them and
key
chain. There was a giant keychain with all the keys, virtually of the school.
Oh, sure.
And I don't know why it seemed so much fun, like it was so much fun, but you could open just about any door in the school.
Oh, sweet.
We never stole anything, though. But
you just got off on opening
what
doors.
Is there to steal? You just go
no,
out
No, there's nothing to
around.
Steal. But I think there were little things that happened, like, you know, when you were doing the, when you're on the audio video team, you know, you needed to somebody open the door for you and just open it first to help.
Awesome.
Stuff like that. But eventually the keys were found on a friend of mine.
Ooh.
Yeah. And
did he talk?
No, he didn't.
Really?
No. He took the rap.
Oh.
It really hurt him too. Like I brought it up, well, it's like, oh, don't bring the key, please.
The key caper.
Yeah, the key
caper.
It's
like the mystery of the urinal deuce.
Yeah, Dr. Disgusto.
Oh, seriously, I have such a raging clue right now. Yeah, I've got a raging clue right now.